this morning. I pray, Lord, that we together are confessing that we are giving you our lives. God, we've come here to proclaim your goodness for what you have done through your Son, Jesus Christ. And no matter what's happening in our life, in our world, our circumstances, you are still worthy of our praise. And so, God, as we've gathered here together in this place, as folks have tuned in at home, Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in our hearts, in our minds. God, indeed, trying to do what we just said, to surrender it all to you, Lord, so that you might use us to honor and glorify your name. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks, worship team, and thanks, Shane. Appreciate it, getting us ready for our time of worship. We were singing about God being a lighthouse. I'm going to use a little bit different of an analogy than lighthouse this morning as we go into our message series, or the theme of our message. The new software we have, actually, I control it with using my phone, so I'm not checking my Facebook status or anything like that, just so you know. I'm getting this up on the app so I can advance it myself, so Gary doesn't have to be a mind reader back there and trying to figure out where I'm going. That's very dangerous. We've been kind of talking about the church universal since the end of October. Now, we did bring in some new members in the church at the end of October, but I used that as an opportunity to talk about why church. Why is church, us, the body of Christ, the family of God, even important? And so now we've just kind of been expanding our vision in that way. This is really the beginning of what we're going to be talking about next week in terms of how we get involved with God's global vision. Part of my job as the Director of Global Ministries is what I do part-time, just like I'm part-time pastor here. Maybe you don't realize that, but theoretically I am. But my job for EC Church USA is nurturing a global vision. I'm trying to help the church in the United States, the EC Church specifically, nurture a global vision because God's plan of redemption is global. It's not just one particular area geographically. So I try and do that specifically with the EC Church USA, but I try and connect that together with the global EC Church, and we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But I want to just begin with kind of setting the stage of how we are to understand God's global vision, because really all of Scripture is revealing that God's heart has always been for the nations, for all people, tribe, and tongue. Now, he uses a specific family to bring about that vision in the Old Testament, but we see that that vision just continues to expand, and it's always been God's heart to reach the nations. So we're going to look at Psalm 67 specifically and see how the psalmist kind of describes that, but we're going to do a little bit of research in the pages of Scripture to see how that has started in the Old Testament, continues in the New Testament, and summarize all that together to help us see that just as God has this global vision, he is calling his church to have a global vision as well. And we are to be a part of that global vision. But this morning, we're going to see why that is important. And as I said, we sang about a lighthouse, and we know lighthouse enables a ship not to run aground when it gets close to the coast. But I'm going to use a different analogy in what I think Psalm 67 is really pointing us to as far as God's covenant people, and we'll talk about that word, but as the church. And I got a picture of the Black Forest Trail. Now, the Black Forest Trail is in Lycoming County, close to where my cabin is, and I've hiked many different parts of the Black Forest Trail. Anybody ever hike on the Black Forest Trail? No. You don't know what you're missing. Did anybody, do you go on hikes? Do you walk? Are you active? Okay. Well, you don't know what you're missing unless you walk on the Black Forest Trail. But if you've ever hiked, You've probably seen some of these dots on trees. Any of you ever see dots on trees? Okay. Those dots mean that's the way you're supposed to go. Now, the Black Forest actually got its name. Story has it that in the 1800s, early 1900s, that if you were in the Black Forest, even in the middle of the day, you still needed a lamp, a light of some kind to find your way, because that's how dense the forest was. And if you've ever been in the forest, you know it's pretty easy to get turned around. Here where the Black Forest is, it's very easy to get turned around. Even when I'm up hunting, I always have a compass with me, because even when there's other people not far from you, it's very easy to get turned around in the forest. If you've ever been on a hike in the forest, you know that's pretty easy. So these dots blaze that trail. And I want to suggest that that's what God is doing with his covenant people. That it's the covenant God has made with his people that blazes this trail that we're all on, this journey that we're all on. Now, we talked about that when we were going through seeing Jesus clearly in the world in crisis, and I said the scriptures were doing that. The scriptures only do that as those who follow Jesus live them out. And so you and I are really those markers for people that are blazing this trail, this journey that leads to a destination. Obviously, if you're on the trail, you're trying to get to the end of that. And Black Forest is actually part of the Appalachian Trail. So if you start hiking that trail, you're trying to get to the end of that trail. There's a place, a destination. And so there is, too, in life. There's a place we're going. God's original intent that we would be with him for all of eternity, experiencing this relationship. We know that went sideways early on in Genesis. But there's still a destination where God is leading people. And you and I are really those markers on that path, because you can get pretty turned around in life. It can get pretty confusing. It can get pretty dark at times. It can get pretty difficult at times. It can feel like at times there's going to never be an end to this trail. And so God uses the church, I'm going to suggest to you, his covenant people, to blaze that trail. And we're going to hear about that in Psalm 67. But before I get there, I've been using a word multiple times now already this morning, and that word is covenant. And I want to help you understand what that means first, because God, throughout the entirety of the scriptures, has woven within it his heart and his desire to bless the world as he originally intended. We read about that original intent in Genesis. God said X, and it was, and it was proclaimed as good. And God created this good world to be enjoyed by his creations, by mankind. And he gives us a job in the very beginning to multiply, be fruitful in number, subdue the earth, and we have a job in this garden. It's this picture-perfect place in relationship with God. That was God's original intent. Now, we know that that went sideways pretty early on when human beings decided to put themselves in the place of God and rebelled against him. And we call that sin entering the world, sin of rebelling against God. And so we're wondering what's going to happen next. And then we see Genesis chapter 6, and there's a gigantic flood that the scripture tells us that God was so grieved at what had happened to mankind, as humanity had rebelled against him so much so it grieved God, and a flood happened. And we're wondering, is God done with humanity? Is God going to be able to do what he originally intended in blessing the world? And there's this one family that is following his ways. And he says, Noah, through you and your family, I'm going to bless the world. And he gives that promise to Noah. Now, that promise to Noah, we understand in terms of theology as a covenant that he makes with Noah. And so the definition we're going to use is a promise or a partnership when we think about covenant. But one commentator said that covenant is the theological glue that binds promise and fulfillment. It is that covenant that God has woven throughout the entirety of the scriptures. And it is through this covenant that God is making that he is going to fulfill the promise he made of his intent to bless the world. And so he does that with Noah, but what happens after that? Eventually, Genesis chapter 11, we see humankind rebelling again, putting themselves in place of God, and they build this tower or whatever the structure is. And they basically say, there's nothing we can't do. And God judges them in their rebellion by scattering them throughout the earth. Different tongues and nations and tribes now exist all over the globe in judgment for they once again rebelling against God and putting themselves in his place. And so at the end of Genesis chapter 11, we're wondering what's going to happen. Is God going to be able to do what he originally intended and bless the world and people? Is it all over? And we turn to Genesis chapter 12, and we see that God has a mission. And God's heart still is to bless the world, to restore it and to redeem it. All of creation, and specifically the people who have rebelled against him. Now that journey, that mission begins in Genesis chapter 12, where we see this covenant, this promise being made to Abram, later Abraham, and his family. And so God, throughout the entirety of Scripture, is still weaving this story together of his intention in blessing the world. And he will ultimately restore all of creation again. At the very beginning of the Bible, we're in this beautiful garden. At the very end of the Bible, we're back there again. And the language being used is a new heaven and a new earth, where God and his people dwell together again. How do we get from point A to point B on this trail? God is blazing a path for us to follow. And that path comes through his covenant. So Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. After the Tower of Babel and people are scattered all over the planet and don't speak the same language anymore, and they're wondering, is God finished with us? It says this, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is what God said he's going to do. When Genesis 11 ends and we're not sure, okay, God, are you finished? Are you through? We're introduced to a family. And God says to this family, to Abraham and Sarah, I'm going to bring about my promise. What I originally intended to do back in that garden, I'm going to bring that about through you. And I'm going to make this covenant with you. And you're going to partner with me in this covenant. And through you, I will be able to bless every nation, tribe, and tongue. Now that's a theme woven throughout all of Scripture. This idea of blessing. And I want to show you that this is part of it. See that? See this cool stuff I can do now with this new equipment I have up here? I can circle stuff and underline it. What's the most important thing here? Well, you can't really see it. My finger's too fat. Sorry. God's heart and desire to bless. That's what God's seeking and striving to do. And he's going to use this family. And he makes something that we call a covenant. And it is that thing, that covenant, that is a theological glue that sticks this whole Bible together to say that God originally intended to do this. and he's going to make it happen. And he's going to partner with you, Abraham, to do that. And through you, all people are going to be blessed. Now let's listen to how the psalmist describes this idea of blessing, this desire that God has. And we're going to use that specifically to see how God, for whatever reason, in his wisdom, decided to partner with us to help blaze this trail. That comes in Psalm 67. I'm going to read from the very beginning, verse 1 to verse 7. And it's basically introductory there for the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. So they may have sung this psalm to proclaim what God is doing throughout the earth. And it says this, begins in an NIV translation, verse 1 actually begins with, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us." Now again, the thing about the scriptures is there's a thread that unites all of them together. This statement being made is not the first time it was ever uttered. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. You'd have to go all the way back to the book of Numbers when God is setting up the priesthood, the people that are going to represent him to the world around them. Aaron and his family. The book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 24 says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." God has made this covenant, this promise to Israel. It's uttered once again in Numbers, but this time the language has changed a little bit. When it says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on earth, so that you, God, and your ways may be known on this planet, your salvation among the nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. You blaze the trail for all the nations on the planet. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him." A couple of things in terms of clarification in what you've just read or what you've listened to me read. This idea of God being gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us probably is better translated shine among us, shine with us. It's almost like we are reflecting this shining that God seeks to do. This idea of blessing and graciousness is actually being produced through God's covenant people. That's what the priests were supposed to be doing for all of Israel. In their representing the people to God and God being represented by them to the people. The idea was that you were going to bless the nation because I'm making this covenant with you. Now the psalmist kind of extends that not simply to the priests offering this blessing to the people. The psalmist actually extends that blessing coming through us for all the nations of the earth. So the language is more of, may his face shine with us or among us, so that your way may be known on the earth or acknowledged on the earth. Your way, God, be acknowledged on the earth. This is not just the idea of, oh yeah, that's great. God is alive and, you know, I come to church on Sunday and I go do my thing. Or if we're talking about the Old Testament, oh, Moses, he's got these Ten Commandments. They're really nice. They're on stone. The acknowledged piece is actually, I'm actually going to do what that says. You know what the scriptures say? I'm actually going to live that out. I'm going to do it. Your way is acknowledged so much so that when I see that dot on that tree, I'm going to take that path. And when that dot goes over here to that tree, I'm going to take that path. You're actually walking the path that God is blazing. That's what the idea of acknowledging. It's an act of the will. You're choosing to walk in his ways. And as we do that, God will make his ways known on earth. Your salvation or your deliverance, that word salvation often in Hebrew is actually the word deliverance. We translate it salvation, but it's this idea of rescue. And the psalmist writing is not specifically about God's wrath and eternal life. When we think salvation, that's what we usually think of, is God saving us through his son Jesus. But here in the psalmist, in Psalm 67, it's more of this idea of God rescuing people from the attack of the wicked or wherever Israel was going at that time, or illness or disease or trouble. God as their deliverer. God is going to enable us to flourish as human beings. That's what God's intention was. And God has decided to use broken, fallen, rebellious human beings to communicate that apparently to all the nations. So that at the end of Psalm 67, it says, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Now, when we think of fear, we think of probably terror, being afraid or scared. The Hebrew word for this is not terror, but implies to be in awe of. The word awesome, I read that for you in Psalm 66. Something is, you are in awe of this thing, this something. You're taken aback by it, by its majesty. On the Black Forest Trail, you're going to see lots of beautiful vistas where it's just mountains, and you're in awe of what you're looking at. Well, apparently, the psalmist is asking for God's blessing so that the earth may be in awe of him. And as you follow Israel's history, as you follow this family around, this covenant people, Abraham and his family, you get to see the amazing things God does, the awesome deeds, and the way that God blesses these people. And that blessing is actually supposed to draw people to God so that the world, the planet, the nations, the people may know your ways. That's the whole point of what God is doing with Israel. And what is the purpose of that? What is the purpose of God's blessing? That's what the psalmist is telling us. May God be gracious to us, bless us, make his face shine with us or among us, so that the world may, there's a blank there, you fill the blank in, so that the world may know Sorry, there was. I can only do one blank. It's actually three words. Know his ways. So that the world may know his ways. This is the whole point. God's covenant people. The big problem was with Israel is they were following the ways of the world. So how is the world going to come to know God if the very people he made this covenant promise with don't even walk in his ways? That's what he said to Abraham. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and the whole world might know me because you, Abraham, follow my ways. And you and your family follow my ways. And in Genesis chapter 12, verse 4, it says, so Abram went. He left his family, and God launched his mission for what he originally intended to do, and that is bless the world so that we might flourish as human beings. This is why following his ways, acknowledging them, and actually taking that path, the trail that's been blazed, is so important. Because it's through our following, apparently the scriptures say, that people come to know who God is. And it's through God blessing his people by guiding them and directing them that people are going to understand and also receive and be recipients of the blessing that God originally intended. It says in verse 4, may the nations be glad and sing for joy. Why? For you, God, rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. There's lots of different people telling you which way to walk. And that forest can be pretty dense at times, and you can get pretty turned around at times. And God said, I'm blazing the path for you. The language there is one of a shepherd leading their flock. And we talked about that before when we were going through the book of John. We talked about Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. Psalm 23 is all about the good shepherd. And this is what Jesus, this is what the psalmist is kind of identifying there. The shepherd is who the sheep follow, his flock. And he cares for them, and he protects them, and he watches over them. And he's good, he's wise. And he's going to take his sheep to the green pasture, into that flowing water. And that's the imagery we're getting here. That is the trail that God is blazing. The key is following his ways. And as we follow his ways, what's that going to communicate to the world? The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us as God blesses us. He's doing that so the world will. There's another blank. Not know his ways. If you don't have your Bible open, you just got to go from memory. If you have your Bible open, you can cheat. So that the world will. Yes. Someone said it. No, none of you said it. You're thinking it. Be terrified of him? No. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth, that's a pretty big geographical location, will revere him. The point of God blessing this covenant people has always been about him blessing the world. It is through that blessing, God apparently says, that the world will come to know him. That happens, God tells Abraham, when you and your people and your family follow my ways. And that just keeps on going throughout Scripture. That's the covenant. That is the glue holding this all together. God promises it. And for whatever reason, he uses a bunch of messed up people to partner with him in this promise, and God fulfills it. And does he just do it for Abraham? Of course not. We see that God is weaving this thread throughout the entirety of Scripture, all the way through to the New Testament. And if you go to Acts chapter 3, you're going to hear this same terminology uttered again. God is on a mission to redeem and restore all of creation, and in particular, to redeem and restore us, those whom he has created. And he is blazing that path. And as we follow his ways and he blesses us, he says, through you, I am going to bless the world around you. And so Peter knows that. Peter was a Jew. He grew up learning all of that. He grew up with this covenant. And now there's a bunch of people in Jerusalem. And Peter starts talking to them in Acts chapter 3, verse 11. And it says in verse 24, indeed, beginning with Samuel. Samuel was an Old Testament prophet. Samuel was the guy that anointed David. David was the guy that God made a covenant with and said, through your family, David, I'm going to bless the entire planet again. Because through you, there's going to come a king, unlike any other king. And so Peter apparently is making that connection all the way back in the book of Samuel. and all the prophets who have spoken have foretold of these days. Now we're in Acts chapter 3. Jesus has already died and rose again and has ascended. And all the prophets have foretold of these days. And you are heirs of the prophets and of the covenant God made with your fathers. Now he's talking to Jews. He said to Abraham, through your offspring, all peoples on earth are going to be blessed. When God raised up his servant, he sent him first to you to bless you by turning each of you from your wicked ways, from your rebellion. Peter is basically telling the Jews exactly what God has done through his covenant people. He sent Jesus first off to you, the people that he started this covenant with. But if you keep reading through the book of Acts, by Acts chapter 10, we're not talking about the Jews very much anymore, nor do we even see Peter really on the scene that much. What we do see is the gospel moving from the central location of Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And the church doesn't look very Jewish anymore. It's starting to be made up of lots of different nations and tribes and tongues. And so what we see is God once again blessing the world through his covenant people by the church's movement. God has decided to bless the world through his covenant people. That's you and me. And the way that that happens is as we follow God's ways and understand that this is how we flourish as human beings, that God has blazed a path for us. The key is we actually got to walk that path and live in his ways. As we live those ways out in the world among us, as God blesses us, we in turn bless the world around us. And we do that in Jesus' name through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's exactly what is happening on in the book of Acts. That is what God is doing. He is fulfilling this covenant, this promise. But it doesn't stop in the book of Acts. It keeps going. And that promise is not just for those of you hearing it right now, Peter is saying, but it's actually for the entire planet. I think it's interesting that this thread is woven throughout all of Scripture. That it is God's blessing through his covenant people that he will bless the nations. That's what God's heart is. And as we live that out as God's people, we actually get to see that happen. Where we begin, that's the whole point. We begin living the way God originally intended. We talked about that last week. When you are born again into a living hope, God is creating a new humanity to live the way he has originally intended us to live. Jesus was the example of that and says, that's how you're supposed to live. And when you live that way, you actually live the way I intended you to live. And every time I pray, I say, God, help us to be more like Jesus. I'm asking God to help us be the humans he has called us to be. Because when we do that, we receive and experience his blessing. And as we receive and experience that blessing, apparently through that, God reveals himself to the world. And all nations and people are blessed by him. The key to that is us following his ways. Now, when you're taking the Black Forest Trail in Lycoming County, that trail is not flat and straight. If you've been in the northern part of Pennsylvania, you're getting close here. Everywhere you go, as we keep going north in Schuylkill County, you got to go up a hill somewhere. There's nothing flat. You keep going north in Pennsylvania, same deal. The path that God has blazed isn't straight and smooth. But when we walk in God's ways, usually the psalmist is saying, you make our way straight. Because the path is blazed for us. And as we walk it, we experience God's blessing. But sometimes that's difficult, and sometimes that's challenging for us. But it's in those very moments that I think people see God clearly. And that blessing isn't simply for Schuylkillhaven. It's actually for the ends of the earth. And God unites us in this ministry of blessing others around us by giving us brothers and sisters all over the planet. And next week, I want to highlight some of these challenges that we face, but encourage us that I am a firm and strong believer that as we bless others, we will experience God's blessing. Because that's how God operates. And we have an opportunity as followers of Jesus here in the United States to bless the world around us. And I want to make sure that we as Grace Church continue to nurture this global vision that God has for the world. And you and I get to be a part of that. He invites us into that by being able to support brothers and sisters all over the planet. So next week we're going to talk about that, and I'm going to give you some opportunities to be a part of that. And it's something that is obviously near and dear to me because of my job with Global Ministries, but I think it's important for us as Grace Church to be a part of that as well. And so next week we're going to talk about what that looks like and how we can really do that. But I want to leave you with this morning in conclusion of what I've just shared, this thread that God has woven throughout all of the Bible, of this covenant, this promise and fulfillment that happens through God's people, and that's you and me. But that happens when you and I choose to follow His ways. God's intent for humanity was for us to flourish. Now, you could maybe make the case that that's not happening a ton right now. And I probably would agree with you. And I will suggest to you, the further away we move from God and His ways, the further away we move from human flourishing. But that should be a marker of His church, of you and me, and every other church that claims Jesus Christ is their Lord. The marker of our life ought to be following His ways. Not just reading what's in this book we call the Bible, but actually living it out. As we do that, you and I reflect the very presence of God to the world around us. And I believe as we do that, God will bless us so that we can bless the world in Jesus' name and through the power of His Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord God, we are thankful that Your promises, as we see them lived out through Abraham and his family, God, Your heart has always been to extend those promises to all nations, all people, and all tongues. And God, for whatever reason You have decided to use Your church, as fallen as it is, as rebellious as she can be at times, as broken as we are at times, Lord God, You have partnered with us. That as You bless Your church and we follow in Your ways, Lord God, we in turn reveal You to the world around us. God, I pray that You would help us do that here in Schuylkillhaven. That when we leave this place, we might not forget about Your ways, Lord, but that we would actually put them into practice. God, not only have You promised that for us in Schuylkillhaven, but You have promised that for all Your covenant people all over this globe. And God, as we continue to think about this, I pray, Lord, that You would help us to partner with them in various ways and be stirring in people's hearts too, as we think about that next Sunday and how we can be involved, Lord, that You would encourage people to be involved in that. Because your heart, Lord, your desire is to help us flourish as human beings. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, Lord. That is why Jesus has come, to give us life and to give it more abundantly. Lord, I pray that we would experience that as we walk out of here today, that we would experience that abundant, flourishing life as we follow your ways. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.